Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about therapy. And with me, Melissa Spalding. She's a licensed clinical mental health counselor and owner of Guided Wellness Counseling. Let's talk about what you're seeing right now. We have the holidays coming up. We have entered that time of year where the days are longer and darker. Tell us, what are you seeing?
There's so much that happens this time of year. And I think before we even talk about what's happening seasonally, I want to reflect that there's a lot of people that are still recovering from the fallout of COVID, that are still recovering from the changes in our political climate over the last 2, 4, 6 years. And that's not done and over for a lot of people yet. So as some of my clients are looking into this holiday season, they're still navigating some of the events and changes to their family system from the last couple of years. But part of what's happening seasonally right now is that I want to make sure people are mindful of what's happening to their self-care during the fall and winter season. Right now, we're seeing a lot of people that, because of the changes in daylight, where it's darker earlier and it's darker sooner at the end of the day, people aren't able to spend as much time outside, moving their bodies, being exposed to the sunlight. And it's November 1st right now at the time of this recording, and people are already trying to think about what their finances look like over the next 2 months, what their travel and family plans look like over the next 2 months. And it can be a lot to juggle.
I want to go back just for a second to what you were saying about the fallout from the pandemic and the changes in families. Can you describe a little bit more what that looks like? I think a lot of us are kind of isolated and aren't really sure what that is.
Some of the things that I'm seeing with our clients is that they have struggled as family units, both as, you know, within their own household or within extended family across the United States or internationally, about what COVID has meant for them and their families. For example, I've had clients that have said, we're not going to get vaccinated, and they've been unable to visit or go travel to see family members that have said, you can only come visit us if you get vaccinated. And this has happened with other health concerns as well. So it's been really tough on a lot of families.
So let's talk a little bit about therapy and what that looks like.
So with therapy, I think a good place to start is understanding that there's different kinds of therapy out there. And the way that I often break it down for people is kind of four main categories. One of them is individual therapy, which is what we tend to see on the movies. It's you and a therapist in a room talking out your personal individual struggles and hopes for growth. The second category is marriage and family therapy, where partners or spouses or parents and children are attending to try to work out whatever conflict or distress they're having in their relationship. The third kind is specific for children, and often we call this play therapy, because the big difference is children learn, grow, develop, and heal through play, not conversation. Just cognitively, they're not there yet. And then the fourth category is telehealth, and that encompasses the first three, which just basically means instead of coming to an office, you have the online to receive mental health services over the phone or on a video call.
How has telehealth changed the experience for folks?
I think it's been really wonderful in a lot of ways. I think initially people, including the therapists, were scared that we wouldn't feel a connection, that there wouldn't be intimacy, that we wouldn't get to like, know, and trust our mental health providers. But really, I think we've seen over the last couple of years that it couldn't be farther from the truth. I know I had those concerns as a therapist, and when COVID set in and we moved a large part of the practice to online, I still felt very connected and saw amazing results with my clients that were getting therapy. Part of what it's also done is it's made therapy much more accessible. With people who have busy schedules and maybe need to do a session during their lunch break, that means they don't have time to get in their car and maybe drive across town to an office, but they can close and lock a door or go out to their car in the parking lot and still get a therapy session over their phone.
Melissa, are you seeing less stigma surrounding mental health issues and getting therapy? Are people seeming to be more accepting of the fact that they could use a little extra help? They would benefit from talking to someone?
I think so. And honestly, I hope so. But the other part of it is that I think it's still a bit of a tongue-in-cheek joke of, everybody should get therapy. But the reality is that it's hard to put yourself in a vulnerable spot to make that call and say, I need some support. So even though I think it is more socially accepted, and it's more socially accepted in certain circles, and in certain cultural circles, there is still a vulnerability and a difficulty to taking that first step sometimes.
What would you say to encourage people that may need therapy, may even know that they need therapy, to get that help? I mean, what difference will it make in their lives?
It will make a world of difference, and it's going to make whatever difference they most desire. And what I mean by that is that when someone goes into therapy, the goal of the counselor in the room, the goal of the mental health professional, is to help their client achieve whatever goal that client wants. So if that client is saying, I want to feel more connected to my spouse, I want more trust and honesty and intimacy, wonderful. Your therapist is going to help you achieve that. But if a client comes in and says, you know what, I need clarity on leaving my partner. I want to divorce in a way that feels honorable and graceful and with the fewest amounts of conflict as possible. Great. Your therapist can help you leave your marriage as well. It really is about what the client wants to achieve and making the most of that.
Now that we're going to be having more family gatherings, hopefully we're having more family gatherings, what kind of signs should people look for as to whether somebody in their family really could use some extra help? What should they look for?
Oh, that's such a beautiful question. I'm really glad you asked that. I think one of the most important things that we can look for is the amount of distress, the amount of emotional overwhelm that our loved ones might be experiencing. And the reason why that emotional overwhelm is important is because it doesn't necessarily matter so much what the person has gone through. It only matters how much distress is occurring. So just as an example, I've got two little ones at home. In addition to being a therapist, I'm also a busy mom of some elementary school kiddos. And if my daughter comes to me and she scraped her knee, she has a high level of distress. And she needs care for that level of distress. I'm not going to look at her and say, it's only a scrape, get over it, right? Mm-hmm. We need to care for the stress that people are under, not necessarily whether or not we think it's a big deal.
If families have faced the conflict over the pandemic or for whatever reason, and they are coming together for these family gatherings, what would be the best way to approach a family member that maybe you just are really angry with at this point in time?
You're really angry with them. I talk to a lot of my clients and do a lot of workshops around boundary setting. Part of what we have to negotiate during holiday get-togethers is this concept of practicing politics. That's what we call it in the therapy world. And what that means is we're mindful of what we say, where we say it, who we say it to, how we say it, and if we say it at all. Holiday gatherings might not be the perfect moment to address a conflict. A holiday gathering might not even be the best moment to suggest someone go get therapy. It might be the perfect moment. Every individual is really going to have to discern what works best for that specific relationship.
If someone decides that they do need some therapy or they think someone that they love needs therapy, what would be the best way for them to find the right therapist for them?
This is really important. And I think it's where people stall in making that first appointment is they just don't know the next steps. So I think there's three things that are really essential when someone is looking for therapy. And the first is that you do your homework, whether that means asking your primary care physician, asking a friend, asking a coworker, paying attention to, you know, if you've had a friend that says, I have the most wonderful therapist, get their name and number, or go on Psychology Today and look at pictures, watch the videos, check out their websites. I want people to remember that you're hiring that therapist you get to decide how you want to work with them. You're the one in charge, you're the consumer. The second thing is that I want people to take advantage of consultations. In my practice at Guided Wellness Counseling, we offer a complimentary 15-minute phone call to anyone that calls. We don't just assume that you're ready to book and come in. And during that consultation, whoever's on the phone with you can help you identify your goals, what your pain points are, and then match you with just the right therapist at that practice, not simply whoever has the next opening. And then the third thing is that when you meet with that therapist, you should feel gotten, right? You should walk away feeling like, wow, I feel like my therapist really gets me. That is a critical, critical ingredient to the recipe for creating change in that therapy session.
Any final thoughts that you would like to leave with folks?
I think I would want people to know that therapy is for them. There's no issue too small or too insignificant. There's also nothing too big or too weird or too wild. As therapists, we've kind of heard it all. And honestly, the most important thing to us is that we get to help you make whatever transition you're facing, and we get to be a witness to your success. It's such an honor to get to be a therapist, to be with people in their moments of pain as they strive to reach their goals and feel better. And I think a lot of people put therapy off because they're like, oh, it's not a big deal. I should just try to cope a little while longer on my own. But none of us have to go through this alone. And again, there's nothing too small or too big that can't be handled with therapy.
Before I let you go, how do people find out more about you and more about Guided Wellness Counseling?
Absolutely. So one of the best places they can go is to our website, which is www.guidedwellnesscounselingut.com. And even though our physical office is located in Southern Utah, because we offer telehealth, we can serve anyone in the state of Utah.
All right, Melissa, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much, Maria. It's been a pleasure.
My guest today has been Melissa Spaulding. She's a licensed clinical mental health counselor and the owner of Guided Wellness Counseling. And thank you for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. You can check out all of our episodes at kslpodcast.com or wherever you like to find your podcasts. And you can also find us on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram, where you will find a lot of great tips when it comes to exercise, nutrition, and mental health. Check us out on Facebook at Let's Get Moving with Maria, and on Instagram at Moving Maria. Have a great day.